Top Med Talk.
Well, hello and welcome to Top Med Talk. We're here at Anesthesiology 2025 in San Antonio, Texas. It's the annual meeting of the American Society of Anesthesiologists. I'm Desiree Chappell, your host and co-editor-in-chief of Top Med Talk. During the meeting over the last couple of days, we have talked a lot about different models of payment and how things are organized here in the U.S. with different value-based care models. One of the things that's very difficult to do in these types of models is to have access to data and make sure we're getting everything that we need to make the best decisions in these types of models. So here to talk to us today a little bit about how we harness all of this technology and what we have at our fingertips now to make sure we're making good decisions and having better outcomes is Dr. David Kennedy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Desiree. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, I hope I hit all that right, because we've talked a lot about value-based care, and it's a little bit of a complicated subject.
It is a very complicated subject. There's a lot of moving parts to a value-based healthcare system.
There is. Well, David, for our listeners, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm David Kennedy. I'm currently with Anesthesia Associates of Seguin, a small private practice out there. I was formerly with Star Anesthesia for most of my career, about 22 years, and I served as their president of the board of directors for a number of years, also 6 years as the chief medical officer out there, and was instrumental in moving forward with anesthesia information management systems in our practice at that time in San Antonio.
All right. So local here. Great. You didn't have to travel too far to get to the meeting. That's nice. Well, okay. So David, let's start from the top here. You mentioned AIMS, or Anesthesia Information Management System. So a lot of our listeners are global, or they may be in areas where they just have access either to the fanciest of systems that do electronic medical records, or they may still be charting on paper. So why don't you first tell us, what does AIMS mean? What is Anesthesia Information Management System?
So what that means is, we all kind of started out in the beginning, especially old guys like me, doing anesthesia on paper. And it's simple, it's cheap, it works well. Why would I need a computer to do this and do anything more than I'm doing on a piece of paper? Well, there's certainly some issues. Functionality, legibility, charge capture, things like integration with your EMR system so that you can pre-populate pre-op and PACU data, immediate availability of the anesthesia record to PACU. There are a bunch of benefits to having an AIMS platform. So AIMS just allows you to immediately capture legibly all of that information and be able to put it at the fingertips of people that need it, both the hospitalist, the ICU, the PACU nurses, the floor nurses, even someone that's doing a case on the same patient.
Yes.
In a few days, that wouldn't normally have access to that record.
How many charts have you gone into and you've been like, I have no idea what actually happened in this case?
Can't tell what this is.
So one of the things that I always noticed back in the day whenever I did paper charting too is that you had all of this data that you're inputting and you're putting on a piece of paper, and it's really the last time that that data point ever sees the light of day.
For sure. It kind of goes into a black hole.
Yeah.
Because no one ever looks at that. It's difficult to harness that information from paper. But with AIMS platforms, you have a real opportunity to harness and do data analytics to be able to make you a better provider, even provide targeted feedback to you or your group or even your entire facility, and make you just better at what you do every day.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned too that we harness it. We want to use it for like quality improvement and all these different things. But there's a real financial aspect to this as well.
There is a financial aspect to this. It's certainly a cost when you're talking about these kinds of platforms. But that cost is offset by the fact that you can provide a more efficient service. So it gives you opportunities that you wouldn't normally have. You got to think about what costs money in anesthesia: cancellations, on-time start delays, unnecessary testing, missing pre-op, health issues, failed or difficult intubations that you didn't identify properly, using medications that are expensive or medications you didn't need to use, intra-op complications, prolonged turnover time.
My gosh, you're going through the list of it.
With all these things, AI and AIMS platforms can certainly help to adapt to those things and give you real-time warnings about issues such as the patient's experiencing hypotension by monitoring carbon dioxide output.
Yeah.
And then with the data mining, to be able to go back and say, look, we've got a large subset of data, not just in your facility, but across multiple facilities, maybe even facilities across the country or across the world, to be able to put that data together and give you sort of a predictive analytic about what you would expect to happen with a patient. It really, the beauty of AI and AIMS platforms is being able to not only just chart data in a computer, but actually be able to predict what's going to happen and give you warnings and heads up. Nowadays, Arthur C. Clarke said, that any technology that was sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. And what we do sometimes behind that curtain looks like magic to some people. We take away your consciousness. We take away your ability to move, your pain. We control your heart rate and your blood pressure. We give that all back. Now, but sometimes when you're fresh out of school, you don't have the talent, the experience to be able to do that, as well as someone that has all this experience. So what AI does is it builds into an AIMS platform that experience, and it gives you the talent to go with the tools to make you a better anesthesiologist, CRNA, or AA.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I'm in the quality space myself, and so these are all the things that I talk about on a daily basis. And what really is difficult is when you don't have data to bring, to back up what you want to do. But then what's even harder is, like, you may have that data, but to have these tools now that you can have the AI do all the hard yards.
You know, in the past, when we would data mine for, let's say that we had a hospital that was interested in how often are we doing turnovers at 20 minutes a case, you know, and making sure that we were not delaying time between cases, we'd have to go back and manually look at that data and kind of mine that stuff from Excel spreadsheets or our billing software. But with modern, portable, and integrated AIMS platforms, the AI is capable of doing that for you and providing those reports instantly. It's a big difference.
That's what I love. Well, we talk about the value of the things that we do. I mean, the value of that is that it saves time and resource.
Absolutely.
So when you talk about strategies for anesthesia groups to really quantify and communicate how AIMS can work better for us as clinicians to improve all these things, what are some of those, that value proposition?
So what you need to bring to hospitals is you need to make them realize that putting an AIMS platform in place is not just a cost. It's something that's going to make care more efficient, safer for patients, and it's going to improve quality. So that's what you need to bring to the hospitals when you're talking to them about this. It's not just changing from paper to a computer, but it's giving them the opportunity to enhance the care they give and to enhance the quality and the efficiency of that care.
Yeah. And sometimes we talked about this again on one of the other podcasts that we recorded, was that there's different ways that our groups are organized, right? So we may be part of the hospital, we may be outside of the hospital and a partner to them. And so it's always good to be able to show value and bring value to our hospital partners, right?
100%. You know, for years and years, anesthesiologists kind of pictured themselves as hit and run providers. We would come in, we'd free up a patient, we'd provide a service, and we'd leave them in the PACU in good condition and move on to the next case. But we're truly perioperative physicians nowadays. And so we're making recommendations and evaluations and even treatment plans for patients preoperatively. And we have to be aware of and be able to handle all of the preoperative issues that a patient may have coming into the OR. You know, we talked about pre-op cancellations and delays and such. And one of those things is a new GLP-1 issues and the ever-changing recommendations on what causes a case to cancel for that. And so being aware of those and understanding what the real implications are of patients on some of these more modern medications, anticoagulants or another, phentermine, any of these things that could cause a cancellation, we have to be aware of that as a perioperative physician, and then managing in the PACU as well, deciding whether or not they're okay to be discharged, to go to the floor, whether they need to be in the ICU on some kind of support. So there's a lot of issues to tackle.
There are, and it sounds like we have a lot of access and insights that can be drawn out from these.
100%. And so these AIMS platforms with AI Assist can make you better at that.
Yeah.
They can make recommendations, intra-op and even post-op, to say, you know, this patient is trending down, not looking good. You need to think about doing something else. You could even see in the future, maybe the AI making adjustments to the gas
closed loop system,
kind of helping you with closed loop systems. Absolutely.
We've talked a lot about that. And we always say that computers can do it better. They can pick up on nuances that the human eye and the brain cannot possibly pick up that shit.
And you know, there are concerns.
AI is a little bit of a black box that people get a little concerned about.
Right.
How are some of the AIMS platforms addressing that?
So the black box issue just says that when an AI system looks at a situation and makes a recommendation, sometimes it's not clear as to why it arrived at that recommendation. We as clinicians, we know kind of what our thought processes are, and we know what our education level is that leads us to that conclusion. We need to be able to understand what the AI was thinking to be able to say, this is what you need to do. And so I think that all these platforms are not just saying, here's the situation, here's the recommendation, but it's actually giving you reasoning behind why it's making that recommendation.
Oh, that's good. So like clinical decision support kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah, sure. And, you know, there are other issues with AI you have to be careful with in the AIMS platforms, of course. Privacy issues and making sure that data is secure, legality issues, and maybe giving patients warning that, you know, you're going to undergo an anesthetic where there may be an AI assisting your anesthesiologist, CRNA or AA, in providing the anesthesia care.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, there's concern about putting such a robust AI system in place that it may make clinicians de-skilled. So it may make someone more reliant on AI, but I think like anything else, it's a tool.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm one of the old guys, so I remember some of the old stuff, but there's some really old anesthesiologists that I worked with that told me about the days before automated blood pressure cuff, pulse oximeters.
Pulse oximetry, all of that.
Now, all of that stuff at one point was a newfangled gadget, and that's not the way we did it for 50 years, and we can do it without it, but it certainly has improved care. That's why it's standard of care, and so I think in the future, as we move forward, you're going to see AI become that standard of care that's indispensable.
Yeah, totally agree. In closing, David, one of the things that, and I failed to mention this at the beginning, but and I kind of said there are different ways to do it. So there are these AIMS platforms that are sometimes integrated into these large EMRs that we have. But a lot of the times, hospitals where we can be working have a large EMR, but they don't have a specific AIMS platform.
That's right. And so you don't need an AIMS platform that's specific to a certain EMR. Many of the very portable AIMS platforms, and I say portability, you've heard me say that word a few. Yeah. The reason for that is a lot of what I do currently is probably 40% of what I do is in non-OR locations. Yeah. So I'm doing blocks and pre-op, blocks and post-op. I'm working in the cath lab doing a TEE anesthetic, or I'm working in radiology, I'm placing an epidural, so I can't have a computer console tied to me. I need some kind of portable platform. These portable platforms are going to be very useful, I think, going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been so enlightening to talk to you today, David. Thank you so much for joining us here on MedTalk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for listening to Top MedTalk. You know, you can always find us at topmedtalk.com. We're on your favorite social media platform, your favorite podcatcher. Wherever you do find us, please like us, give us a thumbs up, give us a rating, give us some comments. We love to hear back from our listeners about what you guys are liking, what you'd like to hear more of. We also wanted to thank our sponsors, the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Just thank you so much. That's it. That's a wrap.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Top Med Talk. Thanks for downloading Top Med Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, check us out on YouTube, and of course on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and X. Also, it's important to remember that Top Med Talk is the broadcasting arm of EPOM, evidence-based perioperative medicine. We'd love you to find out more about that, and the way to do that is epom.org. Check out our website and find out about some of the incredible conferences we're going to be arranging across the year. epom.org.